players lose you games, not tactics. There's so much crap talk about tactics by people who barely know how to win at dominoes. Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the Same Old Wombles. We're brought to you by some of us who were responsible for putting together Yellow and Blue back in the day. We're by the fans, for the fans, now and forever. Same Old Wombles remains non-affiliated and proudly unofficial. My name is Mark Lewis, and I have to report one of the more amusing terrace chants I've heard for some time, sung at Stevenage, and it's easy to guess by whom. You're nothing special. We lose every week. Tonight's panel features Adam Proctor and Niall Cooper. And on tonight's show, we'll talk about three defeats on the spin, as everybody made their mind up about our managerial situation. We'll touch on the volunteers within the club and the invaluable job they do after the volunteer away day on Saturday. And we're going to have a little alternative view of our respective teams of the year. That is not the players, we think, but in other clubs, but actually, which 11 AFC Wimbledon players would you pick as your favourite and potentially best team of the year? And Adam's back, so of course, we'll finish off with some numbers. Welcome to episode 34.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Thank you, Mark. I still have no idea what your intro ever is about, that quote. It's one of my things. I spent ages trying to guess why you're doing the rest of the intro. All the rest of you, our listeners, will be thinking that. And my whole brain is, little cogs are going up, going like, where is this coming from? I'm trying to get into Mark Lewis's brain, which is a very dangerous place to be. I have no idea. It sounds like Adam might know the answer for the first time.
No, I'm worried that Mark is just trying to sneak in some ice cube sample around dominoes that we're not going to have in this podcast. So I'm hoping that isn't the case.
But no advertising. No, nothing subliminal there at all. No, I was going to...
And I'm talking about not the pizza, the game.
Or even the game. No, I was thinking a while back that I should just put some song title quotes in, because Colin Murray does that in Fighting Talk, his quiz at the weekend on Five Live. But no, these are just random quotes that sum up how we are feeling or how I am feeling personally about football situations. That one, for example, is all about Saturday. Saturday we played, I thought, pretty well. I was at Stevenage. It's not a great ground. Interesting old town, but not a great ground. I was at the game and I thought we were doing all right, and they were not putting us under much pressure. They were playing very, very rudimentary, hoof the ball forward. We only had one player who could head the ball away in Nightingale, but he was playing very well. And Jack Curry just gave them a goal, unfortunately. So that's all about it. You know, whatever tactics we had or didn't have, unfortunately, we headed the ball to their striker 25 yards out from goal. Zanef was out of position because he wasn't expecting his left back to head him the ball when he was 25 yards out. So, unfortunately, gave him a goal. It's a Brian Clough quote. That's how historic that is.
Oh, that's a good person to quote. You know, I have vaguely fond memories of Brian Clough ever since he gave a crate of champagne to us after we beat them in the... what was the League Cup in 1984, at memory?
Yes, so. It was. That was my first ever away game, because that was when you had two-leg cup ties in the League Cup in the third round, I think it was. And we beat them 2-0 at home, and then the away leg fell on half term. So my dad said I could go to an away game. Well, he took me to an away game, because I was like 13 or something.
One of them.
I distinctly remember being... frog march from the station. They lined all the fans up. This is my first experience of football in the 80s. And, you know, and these are probably the same policemen who at the time would have been doing minor strike stuff. And they basically patted down everybody for drinks and bottles and everything else. Took everything basically off everybody. I didn't have anything because I was a kid. outside the City ground. But we held out. We got a 1-0 draw. We won 3 on an aggregate. So, yeah, great times.
So, Mark, just with that in mind, you were there, obviously, and I've watched the highlights. And, I, because we have a Same Old Wombles Twitter thing, I happen to have Twitter and occasionally it blurts stuff at me. And, of course, one of the things that blurted at me was that Jack Curry had basically apologised on Twitter for the mistake that he'd made. And it ended up being a goal, so you could consider that a massive mistake. But he just didn't get enough power on the header from what I could see. He kind of thought he was in the right place. But what I, again, on the highlights, and from that tweet, he was so upset that he'd made that mistake. On the instant he made that mistake, it's a mistake that any footballer would make, and so it was unfortunate that we didn't get another goal and blah, blah, blah. So,
What's interesting about that is that obviously my brother talks about it a lot, about you wanting players that are so passionate and care. And that reaction and then Jack Curry's tweet afterwards does show that that is a player that cares. Bloody hell, it's a disaster, right? Don't get me wrong, it's a bloody disaster that what happened. But at least you've got a player that actually, really puts the shirt on and cares about it. And, on the same level, I think Nightingale has grown a lot. His performances have got better recently. And that's another person you think puts the shirt on and cares. And we kind of, for people about that, you talk about the lack of fight that's been in the club recently. It is beneficial to know that there are, still some in there that you think it means something to put on that, the yellow and blue. There are, unfortunately, a number of players, I don't think that's the case. I think they're kind of just going through the motions. I find it really hard just to go at the moment. You kind of, it's got to that point where you just don't expect us to get anything from anywhere at the moment. It is fundamentally depressing. We're playing Swindon and it's like, we just need to get a bloody win, really. That's it, isn't it? It's just like, it's an absolute, and then every single week there's another player out injured. We've just got the worst luck when it comes to injuries and of any club I can think of.
And we don't get normal injuries either.
No, they're seriously big injuries. Little's gone. Pell might come again. And we've now, I don't know, I honestly can't recount how many. At the start of this pod, we talked about naming your best 11, right, that we would want from this club, from this season that we play. I think we could probably get, if you look to the last, since January, name 11 players that have been injured for more than 2 or 3 games. And that would probably be close to our best 11.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, obviously a Sound Howler would fit into there and they've both gone. But outside that, every single one of our defenders has been out injured for some length of time. Same probably goes for all of our midfielders and certainly our forwards, with the exception of Ali up front. He's the only one that I don't think has been out injured yet. I shouldn't have said that. Apologies to all Wimbledon fans everywhere for the imminent injury after 2 minutes on Saturday of our leading goal scorer. I apologise. It's totally my fault. I put my hand up.
I hope that doesn't happen. I'm sure it won't, because he seems to be pretty sprightly and riding whatever.
Swindon home, Tranmere home, Grimsby away. I know we're trying to forget the season, but actually forgetting the fixtures as well is a bit ridiculous.
Well, I'm trying to forget the seasons.
No, but I knew there's 2 Saturdays left. I'm going to be at both Saturdays. I'm going to be there. Like, I can do the last 2. Yeah. And, and whether we win or not, I think is immaterial. Hopefully, come to end of Tuesday night, it will be completely immaterial. It should be. So it won't matter. All right, I'll just be there for whatever. The power of love, a force from above, cleaning my soul. Make love your goal. Okay, forget forget the away game because none of us are going to Grimsby, right? Are we expecting to win any of those home games or not?
Well, here's the thing. As I was there, obviously, I wasn't volunteering or anything else. I've got more of a memory of Saturday's game because I wasn't rushed getting in there as I normally am for home games. People might laugh at this, but it was a nice, bright, sunny day, like it's been today as well. You know, I was there as part of the volunteers group with my wife and my son and my daughter. It was a decent day out. And actually, given that I didn't expect, considering they were third and we were 19th going into the game, didn't expect anything. Predicted a 2-1 loss before the game, so I got that much right. Hate predicting that we'll lose any game against anyone and on any pitch, but I was just being realistic. Based on the game, they literally had two shots in the whole game. Didn't have any others off target, just had the two shots. And the first one was free kick that was lobbed into the area after about 3 minutes. And we stood there like with the greatest respect to under 11 teams, little league under 11 team. And they said, "All right, thank you very much. I'll tap the ball in from 3 yards." And then when that happens after about 5 minutes, you think, hang on, this is going to be messy, messy, messy. And it wasn't at all. They literally had no other shots apart from that header that Curry gave them in the whole 90s, however many minutes they played.
So wasn't there some tweet or whatever it was from JJ before the game about bringing Zanef back in because he'd be excellent at the free kicks? And then that first goal was literally a free kick in straight in.
Absolutely. And the second one, Zanef came to punch the ball clear. He punched the ball clear and he took Ali out completely with his punch. Fortunately, somehow, he didn't injure him too badly and he went on to score. Because there's the mad thing, you know, after that gut punch from self-inflicted gut punch in the early part of the game, we then went on to play some straightforward attacking football. He had DJ playing wide left, Janny playing wide right. Janny probably had his best game that he's played, full stop. Got the ball, looked bright on the ball, attacked his fullback, and he set the goal up, you know, because he ran at them. And they obviously thought, well, we know this guy's no good because we've scouted him the last four women games and he always gives the ball away. He plays the ball straight into Ali, who's given the freedom of the 18-yard box and whacks the ball in the bottom corner. So, you know, decent setup, decent goal. So that was all very positive, actually. And second half, Will should have scored with a header. In fact, we thought he had scored with a header because it was down the other end. Puts a header in from a free kick and it just grazed the post and went wide. McAteer comes and then follows it up and tries to bend it in the corner and puts it just wide as well. So we create the better chances and then just give them their goal. That was how frustrating it was. But at the end of the day, I felt much better, even though we'd lost. People might laugh at that and say that's ludicrous as a football fan. But actually, unfortunately, we've probably all become a bit immune on a Saturday evening now to defeats because we've had so many of them over the last couple of years. But actually, on the way home, felt okay. Didn't ruin my weekend. Didn't expect anything out of it. Didn't get anything out of it. Did my team perform better than I thought they would? Yes, they did. Did they lose again? Yes, they did. Is that majorly frustrating? Yes, it is. Does it concern me that I even have to look at the results of Hartlepool and Rochdale and
Crawley?
Of course it does. But the actual answer to Adam's point is that everyone else, apart from ourselves and crew, are playing tomorrow night. So Hartlepool have to win all three of their games to overhaul us. They actually have, I think, four games left. So if they lose tomorrow night, or even if they only draw tomorrow night, they'd have to win all three of the last three games if we got nothing. So even a point on Saturday would do us fine. And I think I've seen a tweet to show that the teams we're playing, Swindon, Tranmere and Grimsby, are all 12th, 13th and 14th, something like that. So they're the epitome of nothing to play for.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that at Harrogate, at home to Salford, away at Stevenage, for a vast majority of those three games, we've played quite well. And then we've just been stupid all three times at crucial moments. And that's the frustration. And that's where it kind of comes down to this whole mentality thing that that's concerning me, because actually, I hate to say it because I'm not necessarily a big fan of JJ, but you can, when he says we're close, or whatever he said, whatever that quote was, that's been used on kind of like social media all over the time, all over the place, just to take the mick out of him. He's right. You know, we're not a million miles away at all. You know, if we were, Mark, I might want to start with naming what our best 11 would be now. Forget that, you know, we've lost Howell and we've lost Sal, who would both automatically be in my best 11, by the way. You know, that what would you pick? You'd pick probably Pierce and Nightingale, or Pierce or PK. You'd have Curry in. I'm not quite sure who you'd have on the other flank from Curry. That's an interesting one. Then in midfield, you've got Cheers, who's playing well. DJ, who's not been fully fit. We've not seen Pell for ages. Then you get Little would probably have come in. No place for Woodyard. Up front, are we ever going to see Ali play with Davidson? Don't know. But that is actually not a bad starting 11. They're nowhere near fit. Like, you know, none of them are around. You know, you've got half it. I'd argue about whether you have Nick or Broom in goal as well. That would be my other argument. But I think most of us would probably say that is pretty much the starting 11 that we'd want. And admittedly, a bunch of those are either on loan or out of contract. So we're going to have a right rebuilding job for next season. But that's what my 11 would be. I don't know how different that is for you, Adam and Mark, about where you compare that.
I'll actually name nine.
I've written mine out on a bit of paper. I've got a bench as well, but...
Oh, I've got a bench as well, yeah. Well, let's do that now then.
No. Before we come to that, because I think it's important, actually, because Niall's moved from the not a big fan of JJ straight into the 11 thing, which I... So, I'm still undecided about JJ, actually. I'm still undecided. Because of all the things we've talked about. And throughout this podcast, actually, throughout this season, we have discussed the fact that injuries have when you have a shallow squad, really have an impact. And of all the seasons we've done well versus seasons we haven't, that tends to be the issue. And of course, we know, man, we've talked about in this podcast, when you get down to these leagues, injuries are prone for our players because we have quite young players who are not bulky enough to withstand the kind of challenges that come in from the older, not necessarily more experienced, but the older kind of more brutal players. And also, they, you know, in this league, they play that game. They play that game of taking people out. They know the refs are not quite as quick as they are in other areas. They know there's no other camera, VAR, not VAR, but whatever. VAR is terrible. So I guess the thing though that is bubbling around in the ether, obviously, that I see, and I don't know what the score is with this, but there's obviously a lot of call for someone in the club or something from the club to talk about what is going on with JJ, and that the club is super silent about this. And of course I know, because we are, you know, unofficial podcasts, but occasionally we aren't considered that. And that people might think we're too easy, we're too, like, kind to the club. But the club hasn't said anything about the JJ situation. And they're probably not going to say anything. And I don't necessarily think they should say anything, actually, because, you know, they don't need to, I don't think, at this point. But where are we guys set? Where are we sat now? Because I forget the money, forget the kind of payoffs and whatever. I think we finished the season with JJ. We kind of rebuild the squad and we go again. We're not going to get relegated. That would be really, really insane. Things would have to go completely in the wrong direction for us. I don't think it's a problem to carry on as where we're at. If we start the season in really bad, and that might include the pre-season actually, then there might be more questions to be had. And I would expect the club, which is the PLC, to be fair, to say something and to act upon maybe instructions from the DTB in terms of, you know, the is the ethos, is things working? But again, the DTB don't run the they've got nothing to do with what happens on the pitch, really.
I think the one thing that'll go with it, Adam, is that I kind of agree with a lot of that. Is that what we've not had is the opportunity for two people to really properly embed themselves. Well, I mean, maybe Danny Macklin. We've kind of seen that and the kind of changes that you have. And you've got to be realistic here and say, well, we actually have not seen a dip in our attendances. We've seen a lot of new initiatives coming in. There's a lot less complaining about some of the match day experiences than there has been. Lots of things have been fixed. There's a lot of good changes happening around the ground. That's Danny Macklin. And Danny Macklin was basically a DTB appointment. You can look into the background of Danny and, you know, how we know all that, how he got involved. That is totally connected to the fact that we're a fans owned club. The other one is Craig Cope, who's not had the opportunity to really do his stuff because we're outside the transfer window. We all know that he's looking at fixing the training ground and the kind of fitness levels, fitness regimes and stuff like that. And then we've got new scouts in with Andy Thorne. That's not been bedded in yet either. Won't be until the transfer window starts up. So those two big things, which were big changes in the governance structure that people talked about. People talk about us being an amateur club. Those are two very professional appointments made by the Dons Trust board in reaction to the need for change and governance. Governance, we just voted through a whole set of new governance rules. We've got two new senior members of staff in place. None of that's really the chance to properly embed itself, which is about to. So that's actually, in terms of the direction of travel off the pitch, and that means the training ground and all the rest of it as well, there's a whole lot of good stuff happening. And that's really to be applauded. Doesn't mean to say I'm still not a Wimbledon fan who goes and watches the games and get absolutely, utterly hacked off with us conceding two goals in the last bloody, beyond the last minute in two consecutive games. That obviously drives me nuts. But there is a lot of good happening. So if you talk about JJ, if we can get at least, I mean, like half the injuries we had this season, which would still be more than most clubs suffer by a long way. You don't rip out your spine several times over. And look to run on good sets of results. I think there is really good opportunities for us going forward. That's where I look at it. My question marks over JJ is probably connected with the fact that he's actually, I don't actually know whether he's ever had a fair chance with the team, with a fair full set of players to actually show what he can do. The problem we've got is mentally, when you've got your game management, that's my issue about him at the moment. That's kind of why I looked at the starting team against Stevenage and he'd called back Gunter and Brown into the starting 11. My brain was going, well, that's experience to kind of manage a team. Look, actually kind of, if you're, you know, to actually do the kind of professional stuff, which I think some of our youngsters don't do.
No, but I guess to come back to that, just in terms of game management, and again, if I remember correctly, was that, you know, one of the things that we wanted was an upcoming manager who could make some choices and was kind of moving into the role, which suggests that, unfortunately, without that level of experience, you will make some game management poor decisions. So whether that was the wrong substitutions at crucial moments, that kind of stuff. So there's a little bit of that leeway, I think, we can give JJ to say, well, experience, as long as he's learning from that, and I hope maybe with Craig can now that being properly embedded, can kind of maybe give some of that. I know that's more, it's more about the players they bring in and the oversight of the football thing. But we did discuss, I mean, we have discussed that, whether that was in this pod or whenever, about having that bigger support structure that allows us to have quite a young, vibrant approach to our sort of first team squad, but have someone who's a director of football keeping that experience positions and saying, hey, you in that kind of game, making the changes that you made was a wrong game plan, and these are the reasons why. How else are you going to test that stuff out? You know, you can't, you can't just do it in Sunday league. So, you know, so how do these managers get the experience, all that kind of stuff? So, I think it's a learning experience. But of course, as football fans, you don't want anyone learning. You don't want anyone failing because you kind of want to do a bit more. But I think we're safe, so I'm not going to stress out about it too much.
But the simple reality, and both of you talk relative sense there, the simple reality is because we lost so many games last year and because obviously we got relegated, you know, there was talk of, well, actually, this is all no good and pointless and we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And the actual reality is between this time last season and the beginning of next season, we will have a new head of football operations. Obviously, we've got one in place now in Craig. Therefore, we've got a new recruitment process, which as Niall sensibly pointed out, includes obviously different scouts, different places, and people like Andy Thorne who have that much more proper worldly-wise football league experience, championship experience on and off the pitch for many years. We obviously have new commercial side of things with regards to Danny, but also, you know, Ivor having put in a wholehearted stint over many, many years will be replaced as well, which will then, again, that'll take some time to bed in. And I don't know what the appropriate progress is there with regards to who's coming in that particular field, but they've asked specifically, and I read the job spec, for someone who's got proper working experience in a football club. Now, Ivor, with the greatest respect, had loads of working experience in loads of different organisations, but never had it in the football club. He learned on the job, exactly as Adam's just been talking about with regards to the results that Jackson's had this season. If we had the idea of a blueprint, not to be evangelical, but the idea of a blueprint of a young manager, then they're going to make mistakes. And if that's coupled with the injuries, as we said, that's going to be a knock-on impact. How do you alleviate that? Well, you give him the experience and you actually stick with him, not for the sake of it, not being bloody-minded. And again, different managers, different places, people will jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, look at Port Vale, for example, who are the latest example of a team who had a manager who got them promoted out of League Two into League One and have been on a poor run, which is similar to our one as well. But actually, off the field, we have to have the building blocks in place, which starts actually with Michael Hamilton and the youth product and looks at your Paris Locks or your Morgan Williams and so on. Even obviously Ogun Doré had been out on loan. Biller would have been out on loan last season as well. And Williams has been at Eastbourne Borough. And who was at Eastbourne Borough last year? Jack Curry, who's going to probably be young player of the year, if not player of the year this year? Jack Curry. So there is method in this supposed madness. But actually, the number of people who've changed overall off the pitch, and include that also includes a number of the people on the Donsworth board as well. So if fans are angry for change in lots of different aspects and lots of different places, well, that change has actually happened. But then you have to allow, everybody has to allow those individuals to get in place, just as the same as if it was a normal commercial business. A CEO comes in or managing director comes in or marketing manager or whatever level they're in, they're not going to produce instant results. So we're not making excuses. We're not being polite for the football club. Sorry, Adam, I'll let Adam come in a second. But we are as frustrated as everybody else, as normal football fans. That's all we are. Same old Wombles, normal football fans. But we're still frustrated and still, in our own way, cheesed off. We're not necessarily going to express it quite as passionately or quite as plainly as some supporters will do, nor are we going to do it on social media, but it's their prerogative to do on social media. But I'll now cede to Adam, who I'm sure is going to be a little bit more eloquent than I am.
No, I'm probably not. But firstly, if you're hangry at any match, go to My Pie, sorted. So there's obviously something to be. No, but this is the thing for me. We, as far as I'm concerned, we were promoted too fast to League One, right? And I don't know, you know, whether ever anyone got some sort of like starry-eyed imagination and whether there was a things about the championship. Again, it's like, no one, I mean, I never talked about the championship being a thing we could do. No one realistically. But also it's like, this is a long-term game, right? It's a long-term game because we came from nothing. We were completely destroyed and went from Ryman, and we had people in place who put their time and effort in various different ways, be that Ivor, Chris, all those kind of people, right? And we've taken that through to a certain point. And I know, because we've seen it, it's pretty clear that we are now hiring people in appropriate ways to progress through the final part of the pyramid appropriately. And whether that's League One, League Two, Championship, Premiership, whatever. We also know that we've got people who are working on reimagining football in the UK that not only come from our club, but are galvanising other spaces. And these things are long term. And I've worked in universities and a university for a long time. I know what it means to be in an institute that is an oil tanker rather than a flotilla of small boats. Sometimes things take way longer than you expect. And so I can kind of take that. And so I think, you know, tweaking up the commercials thing, allowing people to move out, you know, in and to rejig those things, get those places, those positions in place now, is really important. And, you know, and we had the first time we had Plough Lane was in the middle of a pandemic. You know, that's insane, right? And so we rode that appropriately. You know, we've done a bunch of things. We're now putting into place people who can really take the club forward. And I do think there needs to be a little bit of a patience from various fans. But I also think that patience of those fans, there's like two or three people that need some patience. The rest are there because they love a Saturday. It's enjoyable. It's exciting. Sure, you know, it's mad up and down world. But I do think that, you know, we can turn it around quite quickly in terms of what happens, and our matchday experience is only going to get better. Our commercial experience is only going to get better. The players that we bring through is only going to get better. You know, where we end up in terms of a league position is kind of by the by. We're not going back to the conference. We're only going to go forward. And that's because we are putting in place really sensible, sustainable moments of business, of action, and I think that people don't realize that, and that, you know, that the golden panacea or whatever the word is of throwing tons of money at it isn't going to work it, because football's going to change. It should change, and it is changing, and we are on the right, we are ahead of the game of that, which is great. So yeah, I think we are in a good place. I think we should just be a little bit more patient, but I don't think that many people are being impatient.
I think what's interesting on that, I'll whisper this really quickly, Adam. I think it's, if you were to take a pause and go back, roll the clock back, what, 3 years, 4 years, and you go, right, okay, we were at King's Meadow, we're now at Plough Lane. The foods court didn't exist. We now have a brilliant food court. Art around the ground wasn't there. We were moaning about the operations off the pitch in three or four key positions. All of those key positions in turning the club have changed. We've got a new head of football. We've got a new CEO. We're going to get a new commercial director. We've got a more young, dynamic manager. All of those things were things we were all moaning about. They're all ticks, right? What do we need to improve? All of those, they've all been done. Do you know, I mean, this is a club that is moving in the right direction, that listened to its fans, because we're a fans club, made those changes. And, you know, that it was a bit of a tanker, because I was involved in that process. Mark's now involved in that process. We are making really significant changes. And that is to be applauded, because it puts us in a very healthy position for the next few years. I could obviously go on about Fair Game, where we are with football governance, right? I mean, that is on a path to dramatic change. I know that because I've been talking to a load of politicians recently. You know, we're going to see something that will benefit AFC Wimbledon massively. I mean, we're talking a significant difference that will mean all those clubs that we moan about, who are all doing things in a very bad way, will no longer be able to get away with it. And we are not one of those clubs. So it will benefit us massively. All of those things are all a good direction for us to go forward. We're in a healthy position. You know, I'd like to see where we are in 3 years' time, because I think we could be looking at a very robust, powerful, forward-moving club. We already are, but like the direction of travel is pretty damn good. I'll shut up now, but I just wanted, that was me summarizing a bit, Adam, what you just said. You know, there is a lot of good stuff happening. Mark gets to take all the credit as DTB.
No, I don't. No. the club takes the credit, and the club is a sum of all the different parts together, which allows me to segue onto what I wanted to talk about briefly relating to the volunteers. Those people who don't know, there's a feature on it on the website earlier on, but there are a number, probably up to about 60 or 70 volunteers that help out either on trust or the football club itself, either on a match day in the club shop or around and about selling golden goals, selling programs like I do and coordinate, and a number of other items. There's a group that have worked at King's Meadow and are still now working at Plough Lane in terms of helping out with regards to simple things like cleaning up around the stadium and also designing new program stalls for us to be able to sell and so on and so forth. Now, for many, many years, Ian McNay is one of our PLC members, board members, has kindly through his company sponsored the away day, which involves basically those volunteers that are able to going to an away game towards the end of the season. Ian and his company pay for coach travel, pay for a match ticket, and pay for a meal. And this year's occasion was at Stevenage. So this weekend just gone. So we went by coach, and there's about 50 or so on the coach that I was on with my family and other people I know. Got a meal beforehand. And at the meal, Mick Buckley, as chair, made a speech. Ivan made a little speech. And Ian made a little speech as well. And in addition to all of that, they had Harry Pell and Alex Pearce were there. So just to fill in on when they may be ready, it doesn't sound like Pearce will be fit for the end of the season, but potentially, according to Pell himself, he may will be actually available, if not for Tranmere on Saturday, then certainly for Swindon on Saturday, then certainly for Tranmere. So a couple of games of the year towards the end of the season, which, to be fair, is what Jackson said about a month or so ago. So that's a positive thing. And they were all basically saying, which is completely straightforward and true, that however professional we are now getting, as we need to get, as Niall and Adam have just said, on the off the pitch with regards to the commercial setup and with regards to monetizing the stadium, there's still thousands of things that go on that if the club had to pay for the arrangements to be done for golden goals or for programs or anything commercial like that, or to pay for club shop staff that were, you know, even on minimum wage, it would cost them hundreds of thousands of pounds per year. They have to come out from somewhere. And I know from talking to the Rochdale people recently, as I mentioned on a previous pod, that they have to pay for those. They have to pay an outside agency, and paying that outside agency obviously impacts their ability to be able to put that money onto the football pitch, into the playing squad, and therefore for the fans to be able to enjoy. So once again, just wanted to say, I know it sounds like I'm beating out myself, but I'm just a fan that wanted to be a volunteer, and I help out doing that. And my teenagers still do it. They still enjoy doing it, and they take pride in doing it. What I think is really impressive, and I'm actually really grateful for, is not only the people who did it at King's Meadow for many, many years, and a number of whom have chosen to retire, so to speak, and just come to games and have a beer beforehand and relax, but we've had a number of brand new people that have come on board this season that haven't been involved in volunteering before. And I keep getting random emails from different people in different places saying, yeah, I'd like to come on board, I'd like to come down. There's a guy who's actually a Man United fan who hasn't been to a Wimbledon game yet. He's volunteered for 3 home games and sold programs with us, hasn't been to a game yet. He's a Man United fan, he's not a Wimbledon fan. That's why he's not so engaged about doing it, but he's engaged about helping us as a volunteer, which is absolutely fabulous. He lives in the local area, he's heard about the idea, and that's why he wants to do it. And more power to him, and more power to all the volunteers, and thank you very much. I would say on behalf of just us as the pod, and the football club itself, obviously, is extremely grateful. There were some social media at the weekend from Danny as well, just thanking everybody, and we'd obviously all echo that. And if anyone wants to get involved in that, then obviously email the Don's Trust, and they can put them in touch with the appropriate people who head up the different teams to do different things. And I'm sure there'll be stuff to do over the close season if people are interested. And likewise, Wish as well. There's a feature on the website about what Wish did and the Wish Day that I was invited to recently. So I'm sure they'll be delighted if anyone was able to help out and volunteer for Wish as well.
Just to pick up on that, I think one of the things with that is people want to volunteer for us because of our story and what we stand for. And I think that's one of the big bits that I've taken recently, three people quite recently to the ground for the first time at Plough Lane, not Wimbledon fans. And every single one of them has fallen in love with the place. And the question afterwards, obviously it's recent, right? So they've all watched us lose. So, you know, but every single one of them has gone back saying, right, I want to come back. When can I go again? Because they love the ethos and the atmosphere that goes with the ground. And that is part of the volunteering. It's part of that whole, like, in it together and that kind of, that you get when you walk into Plough Lane, that you get when you walk past Mark selling the programs and all the rest of it. And you get that kind of sense of, like, there's a reason why we're here. And that's because of our story. And I think that's one thing that people forget. If we lose that story and that ethos, you will lose the commitment and will from a number of people that are around the club like that, because we buy into it. And I think that's what some people forget. That's worth hundreds of thousands of pounds every year on its own.
No, agreed. I'm not going to say any more on it. I agree with everything you guys have said. So come on, let's get to the 11, because I've written mine down. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help, when I was younger, so much younger.
Adam, I said my 9 earlier on.
All right, okay. So I will read you my 11, and then you can tell me how many of those 11 you would change. And then we can work out, even just from the three of us as a straw poll, how we go, all right? So my 11, and before I give you the 11, I've checked, and they've never played together overall through the season because of circumstance and injury and so on. My 11 is Zanoff in goal, Hospiller right back, Jack Curry left back, Pierce and Towler centre back. Midfield, this is 4-4-2. Midfield for Chislett, Woodyard, Pell, and Asal, and Davison and Ali up front.
Okay, I'll rattle through mine because I've got quite a few. I've gone 4-3-3, which is not like me. So Zanoff, Biller, Nightingale, Curry, PK, Woodyard, Pell, Chislett, Ali, Davison, Pearson.
Oh.
What's happened there is that Mark named Asal and Towler, which aren't in your 11, Adam. Asal and Towler would be in my 11, right? So
I left Asal and Towler out. That's interesting. Hang on, Adam. I didn't get all of them down. So Zanoff, Biller, Nightingale, PK, Ali, Davison, Pearson. I'm missing another three.
Woodyard, Pell, Chislett. No, because okay. I dropped everyone that's like no longer with us.
It's a fantasy 11. That's the whole point. But never mind. That's all right. Yeah.
If it was, I would be similar to you, because I think then my back four would be almost identical. I'd dwell on whether it's Pierce or Nightingale, right? But otherwise, pretty much there. Your midfield four.
Yeah. Well, I would. You named Towler and PK. So you're going through it back then.
No, I've Biller, Curry, Pierce, Towler. Same back four. But I'd dwell on whether it's Pierce or Nightingale.
Okay. Right?
In the middle, I would go with those four, but I would think Woodyard's completely lost it all, and I'd probably replace him with Little.
Okay.
Little's on my bench, so.
And then in the middle, in up front, it's same two as you got, Mark. So I'm really close to what you were at, Mark. So it'd just be not Woody and question mark over Pierce or Nightingale.
So obviously, based on that, you've got three votes for Zanoff, three votes for Biller, three votes for Curry, two votes for Pierce.
Two votes for Towler. Three votes for Cheers.
Yeah.
Three votes for Pell. Two for Woody. Did you vote for Woody, Adam?
Woodyard is on mine, yeah.
Right.
I only voted for Woody because I needed a defensive midfield player somewhere.
Right. And two votes for Asal.
Yeah.
And we all vote. Do we all do for Davidson and Ali up front?
Yeah.
And here's an interesting stat for you because I checked it out. Davidson and Ali played 8 games together. Although, as we know, a couple of them, when Ali first started, he was playing right wing. He wasn't playing up as a two. But in the eight games that Davis and Ali played together, between them, they scored 6 goals. Ali scored 5 and Davison scored 1.
What were the? I assume we lost them all.
But of those games, the only game we won was Stockport County in end of January, 1-0.
So I know me and Mark had people on the bench, and I know Niall didn't. Who did you have on the bench?
So my bench was Broom, Gunter, Nightingale, Little, NYC, remember him? Jaisemi and Hudlin.
DJ would have
That's
been
too
DJ.
Big a bench, isn't it?
7.
It's a 7.
Oh,
seven.
I only went for 6, sugar.
Hold on. Whoa. Who was your last player?
Hudlin.
Oh, my word.
No,
why?
No.
Well, I've tried this. Okay. Otherwise, you've got NYC as your only striker.
No. So, okay.
Me. My brother over Hudlin. No, Hudlin is just not.
No, I would
near
say no way
squad.
Near, but true.
No way near. We must have like a Alan Cork. Like, he might be 59 million, right? But Alan Cork over Hudlin.
I only went for 6 because
Hartson. I bet your Hartson's
okay,
the size of a.
That's typically you're only going for 6, like most of our season. Well, who was your 6
yeah,
then? Adam?
I basically went. So the reason I've got 6 is because I looked at the last game and went, how many people are you allowed on the bench now? Oh, there's 6.
7.
So, yeah, well, of course, I was looking at how many were on the bench rather than the rules of how many could be on the bench. So, okay. And I only picked players that are currently available. Broom, Brown, Pierre, Little, Dylan, Robinson.
Oh,
Robinson over Hudlin.
Yeah, obviously.
So, I mean, like, that's just like a given.
Player who's played for us once.
Yeah, but he could have played for longer with us. If
Robinson over Hudlin.
Hang on, I've missed one. Robinson's... Broom, Brown, Pierre, Robinson, Archie Hershey, and Listen. Who?
Yeah, all right. Right, yeah. Mark. Robinson's yes. played for us once, which is more than Hudlin.
Hey. Okay, now who's your bench then?
I didn't have a bench.
You've got to do it on the fly now.
On the fly. Broom, yeah. DJ, because I didn't have him in my starting 11, definitely should have been. Well, not in starting 11, but on there. Woody would be on my bench rather because I've got Little in the team.
Yeah.
Johnson, how many have I named?
Johnson?
Zach, Robinson.
Robinson, yeah.
Robinson, John. I don't know where Johnson's come from. From my crazy Brett Johnson from
HBO. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got 2 more.
2 more. I've got Pierre. Oh, PK.
PK's on your bench. That's ridiculous. Okay.
Well, I've got Towler in my team. You haven't got Towler in your team. That's ridiculous. And Brown.
I haven't even got PK on my bench.
Brown.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get Matt and Alex to do theirs, and then Adam can post them all together on the updates. But here's the reality. That's the reality of it. That team, whichever version of that team we just talked about, have never played together. You know, Asal never played with Ali. And I checked it up actually. Pierce and Towler played together once, and that was a Weymouth in the FA Cup.
That's just ridiculous.
That sounds.
It is. And what about, I suppose, Billa and Curry have played together.
Yeah, Billa and Curry played together a little bit, yeah.
With Towler?
Again, Billa made his debut, I think, in early December, by the look of this. Grimsby Town, 1-0 home win.
All right. Has Pell and Little ever played together?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
There's
a bit of a gap in there.
Good question.
They might play together once, I'd have thought.
Leighton Orient away. Yeah.
Well, we actually played really well in that game.
Oh, no, hang on. No, Stockport County. Sorry, game before that.
All right, so they played in the win.
Zanef, Billa, Callenby, Pierce, Brown, Woodyard, Pell, Little, Chislett, Alhamadi and Davison.
So that was the Stockport away win?
That was Stockport home. The five quid a ticket game.
So we won 1-0.
That's a pretty strong squad.
Yeah.
Right, so that's probably our That's probably, that last win is probably the last time we actually had. Well,
with 28th of January, that wasn't our last win. No, but was the last win, but yeah, I know what you mean.
28th of January, that looks like probably close, as close as we played to our best team.
Absolutely. Right.
And we won. Just
we could ramble for hours because we have been rambling for hours. So I'm going to wrap it up there because that was a good proper venting of how everybody feels and how the frustration of with not actually getting the right team and the pitch at the right time has been. Some numbers to finish off. Two numbers only this week. What numbers do we come up with? Okay, this should be relatively straightforward, but I say that every week.
Oh, shut up, Mark. For goodness sake, why do you save that?
I reckon I know one of Mark's numbers, but we'll see.
All right, then. Mr. Know-it-all Cooper, your number is number 13.
Number of points we've had since the start of the year.
Since the start of January, correct.
Start of January.
That was a very sad tweet that was sent out this afternoon, which indicates that since the beginning of January, we are bottom of League Two on our own.
Yeah, but do you know who's directly above us?
Swindon, I think.
Swindon with 14 points.
Yes.
Who are we playing Saturday?
Swindon. Who do they have up front? Charlie Austin. Lee Brown against Charlie Austin in terms of shit as we will be quite amusing. Okay, Adam's number is 201.
201. And you claim this is easy?
Yes.
201 is the amount of different starting 11s we've had this season.
Nothing as complicated as that.
201.
It's to do with one of our players and
an improvement
they've made in the last week.
What they've made in the last week, what?
Will Nightingale, number of appearances Will Nightingale's made.
Correct. You, well done, Knight. 2 out of 2. Okay, bonus points. Nightingale is now third in the appearance table, so to speak, of most AFC Women appearances. Behind which two players?
Sam Hatton and Barry Fuller.
Barry Fuller, yes. I'm not sure that Sam Hans are up as far as this, though. Barry Fuller, 233. And the other right back?
Hussey.
He was a left back.
I was thinking fullbacks.
Also playing for the AFC Women Retirement Home, otherwise known as Dorking Wonders.
Oh, Noel should remember. But it's someone who's played a lot for us.
No shit. That would be the answer to the question. It's not Haswell. Haswell never played that many.
It's not Haswell, no.
It wouldn't be Haswell.
George Frankham.
I didn't realize he played that many. Honestly, you look. Yeah, look back through Sam Hatton. Sam Hatton would definitely play.
According to Wikipedia, Sam Hatton, 197. He was the longest serving player at the time when he left. But then obviously.
Doesn't include Surrey County Cup games, you see, that's it. That's for taking it up.
Yeah, they're the important ones, definitely. Fabulous. Darlings, thank you very much for joining us this week. That's been Same Old Wombles, episode 34. We have 3 left. Hopefully, we're going to cover some previews of the last few ladies' games. We're going to do the season month by month. To recount all of the wonderful shit show that we've had of the season.
I'm interested to be here in December.
And then next week, we're going to do player of the season and young player of the season because they're going to be given out in advance of the Tranmere game. So we'll do it on next week's pod.
Well, we should do our Hall of Fame best 11 because the Hall of Fame vote closes on the 24th of this month. So if you haven't voted, vote now.
Vote now. Vote now and vote once because you can't vote more than once. Well, vote once for each era anyway. We've been Same Old Wombles episode 34. You can find us, as you know, on sameoldwombles.com and on Twitter when Adam gets around to tweeting things. Thank you very much and good night.
Or good morning.